All right, guys. Raise your hand if you enjoyed that conversation. That nice? We could let that roll for a while. Y'all are just getting started. But, you know, I just want to remind you, if you enjoy doing that, there are ways to get together during the week that are, if you think outside the box, we've talked about it before, swap your phone numbers and get together for a coffee, or swap phone numbers and come play volleyball, you know, or, you know, it doesn't have to always be here. If you enjoyed that, then maybe there's something else y'all can do with two guys, three people. So be creative, right? Because fellowship is great. Fellowship is great. Well, last week we talked about some great reasons to praise God. We looked at God's plan that will happen in spite of the opposition of ignorant men. We found out once again that if we ask for forgiveness, if we repent and ask for forgiveness, God will blot out our sins and we'll have times of refreshing in our lives. How many felt refreshed this week when they repented? Changing our mind about what we're doing and realizing, wait a second, I'm going about this the whole wrong way, Lord. I'll do it your way. Your way, Yahweh. And we found out Jesus is coming back. He's going to come back. He's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. And it's a wild thing that you can read about in Scripture. And we had Scriptures that you can look at in Revelation 20 and 21 about that, and also from the book of Isaiah about the millennium. Today we're going to talk about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. We don't hear it very often in a positive light, do we? We usually hear it in a negative light. But there's something about that name. There's something about that name. And I'd like to pray before we start. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity to do church here, Lord. Thank you for this spot that you've allowed us to bring your word at all these years. I pray, Father, that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll open our minds to understand your word. Help us apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn in our Bibles. Raise up your Bibles or your phones or whatever you got. By the way, if you have a phone and you don't have a Bible on it, go to the YouVersion app, and it's great. YouVersion, YouVersion. I open that up pretty much every morning. First thing I do is I open up my YouVersion to see what it has to say, just to get my day started on the right foot. So open up your Bibles to chapter 4 in the book of Acts. It's right after chapter 3. And Peter has just finished giving his second sermon in chapter 3, and that's what we looked at the last couple of weeks. And let's read verses 1 through 3. It says, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. Now, why would someone be upset that Jesus had risen from the dead? Isn't that good news? Right? I think it's great news. But that's why these guys are called the Sadducees. Because they're sad, you see. Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they had no hope. They didn't want it to be true. Okay? And they were the ones who just killed him. The Jews had just killed Jesus. So why would they want to be happy about that? The last thing you would want to know is that he survived the execution. Because that means that he told the truth. Then when he said he would die and rise on the third day, that he meant what he said. And everything else he said about sin and death and hell and torment and separation from God, and that he would come back to judge the world of its sin. You wouldn't want that to be true, would you? You would want them to stop. Reminds me of an old Far Side Remember the Far Side cartoons? They had a guy with a can of called Stop It, and he could use it like in restaurants when someone was talking next to him, like, stop it, shh. Or like a baby crying, stop it, shh. You know, or like, it'd be great for my classroom. All right, kids. But they just wanted to stop these guys from talking about Jesus and preaching the resurrection. Stop it. So what do? They threw him in jail. That'll stop him. That reminds me about what somebody said. They said, my brother was a stutter. Who has a stutter is in prison. It's just heartbreaking knowing he will never finish his sentence. So, but seriously, on a more serious note, did you know that this is still happening today? People are being thrown in jail all over the world just for being a Christian, just for talking about Jesus, just for talking about the resurrection. They're being harassed, thrown in jail, tortured, and killed. In fact, I went on to line yesterday and looked at a website that says there are 245 million Christians around the world right now that are suffering persecution. 245 million. 14% more Christians are in persecution in the last year in the top 50 countries that are on the world's watch list. These are mainly due to Islamic persecution. 1 in 9 Christians experience high levels of persecution worldwide. 1,266 churches or Christian buildings were attacked in 2019. 2,625 Christians were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. There are so many countries, if I did this right now, I would have already been taken away. 4,136 Christians in the last year that they checked, leading up to 2019. 4,136 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. On average, that's 11 Christians killed every day for their faith. This is happening right now. Due to many different reasons, Islamic oppression, due to paranoid dictators, atheism, communism are the main reasons. In China, I read a quote that someone snuck out from one of their books, their protocol. It says, quote, the priority is to remove crosses at religious activity sites on both sides of expressways. This is in the last couple of years since they had their new leader put in place, and he's in for life, by the way. Remove crosses from national highways and provincial highways. Over time and in batches, bring down the crosses from the rooftops to the facade of the buildings. Be particular about tactics. Be careful about methods. Use the idea of illegal construction. This is crucial to investigate and prosecute from the perspective of laws and regulations to avoid inviting heavy criticism. As of 2018. And if you look online, you'll see pictures of the Chinese authorities setting crosses on fire on the top of churches. The brute force third phase of this aforementioned 14-year plan has begun. Over 6,000 crosses have already been burned or ripped down from church buildings, many of which have been demolished in China. It's happening right now. Why? Because they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about Jesus who came to save the world, but also to convict us of our sin. And no one wants to be told that they're a sinner. It's like, who turned the light on? Whoa, 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 wait. All my stuff is being seen. People can see my stuff. They know I'm, you know, no one wants to be found out. They don't want to know that they're responsible for their lives. But here in the early church, the damage had already been done, to use a twist of words there. It was too late. Look at verse 4. But many of those who had heard the message believed, in spite of them being thrown in jail. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. This all started with the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate. They had wondered how it happened. Peter let them know it was by the name of Jesus. This is what we call power evangelism. An act of God in His name, in the name of Jesus, leading to salvation, 5,000 people. Now this is 2,000 added to the 3,000 that were previously saved in Peter's first sermon. The miracle could not be denied. And when Peter told them, it was because of the power through the name of Jesus. They believed and they put their trust in His name. In fact, all over the world, in spite of the opposition of ignorant men and persecution, the church is growing right now. Well, I think I'm on a roll. Okay. According to an article by Chuck Colson, who is now in heaven, saving a place for us at the banquet table, sitting with David and George Washington and Keith Green, says in his book, The Clash of Civilization, Samuel Huntington predicts the demographics will decide the clash between Christianity and Islam. As he puts it, in the long run, Muhammad wins out. So you would think with all this persecution, all this happening, that the church is diminishing worldwide. In this instance, Huntington is wrong. For the foreseeable future, there will be many more Christians than Muslims in the world. Now, it's interesting because I know the Muslims are working really hard at it because they're having 7, 8, 9 kids and we're having 1 or 2. And so just by that, you would think that the Muslims will be more, there'll be more Muslims than Christians. See, one thing my wife and I did was we let God decide how many kids we were going to have. So we had 5 miscarriages and 4 of them made it. We would have had 9 if they all arrived. So we kind of let God make that choice because we believe that one way to evangelize is to make more Christians. One way to grow the kingdom is make them yourself. Get busy. Have fun. Procreate in the name of Jesus. And the Muslims are good at that. It's good for your marriage too. Right? And the Muslims are good at this. There's so many. And when we were in Malawi this summer, there are children everywhere. They have no problem with all that. So praise God that they were coming to Christ. We saw thousands of people give their hearts to Jesus in Africa this summer. And now all those little babies and those little kids are going to become Christians and turn away from Islam, which is where they were heading. They were in Muslim villages. Praise God. As Penn State professor Philip Jenkins writes in The New Christendom, The Coming of Global Christianity, predictions like the Huntington's betray an ignorance of the explosive growth of Christianity outside the West, what we see here. For instance, in 1900, there were approximately 10 million Christians in Africa. By the year 2000, there were 360 million, largely because of David Livingstone's work. Read his biography. People are still talking about him in Malawi. The town of Blantyre that we flew into is named after his hometown in Scotland. By 2025, conservative estimates see that the number in Africa will be 633 million Christians. Those same estimates put the number of Christians in Latin America in 2025 at 640 million, and in Asia, 460 million. Are you hearing that? According to Jenkins, the percentage of the world's population, that is, at least by name, Christian will be roughly the same in 2050 as it was in 1900. By the middle of the century, there will be 3 billion Christians in the world, 1.5 times the number of Muslims. In fact, by 2050, there will be nearly as many Pentecostal Christians in the world as there are Muslims today.